Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, this is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. Welcome back to the podcast. We're starting a new month, so you'll be listening to this in April, which is pretty crazy.
That is how months work. After March, there is an April.
A few episodes ago, we passed our 50-episode mark, which I guess we kind of forgot to mention, but that's exciting.
Woo-hoo. That is a very liberal use of the word we.
Well, it's our podcast now. I reached 50 episodes. Colby probably reached, gosh, I don't know, maybe like 20?
20, 30-ish, yeah.
We'll have to go back and count. I'm intrigued to see what the final number is. But before we get started on our topic, we have a question of the week. Colby, what is your favorite bear? It could be fictional. It could be a species of bear. It could be... That's it. There's only two options.
I wasn't even thinking about fictional bears.
Oh, I was only thinking of fictional bears. Interesting. Well, I can go first if you want.
I mean, Yorick Bernison is my favorite bear.
I don't know what that is.
He is spoiler alert for the first book in his Dark Materials. But
he's the bear.
The bears.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I forgot that show came out this year.
It did. It already shot a second season.
Wow. Good for them. My favorite bear is Winnie the Pooh. Always has been. Always will be.
So much so, you got a tattoo of Winnie the Pooh.
Correct. It's very cute. I actually told my dad. Did I tell you that? I told my dad I got a tattoo. I haven't told my mom yet.
What does your father think of your tattoo?
I think he was like, fine. I don't think he was like, pleased. I wouldn't say he was be like, oh, great tattoo. But I think it's fine. I'm not in trouble.
You also got
anymore.
Like five tattoos.
Yeah, well, okay. We don't have to mention the rest of those. Anyways, you can find me on Instagram at Real Martha Riley and on Twitter at Martha and Colby.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Letterboxd at Colby Complains.
This week we are talking about books. I'm trying to bring energy to the podcast because last week I was listening and I got super depressed. So I felt like we were just like very sad last week. So let's be happy this week and talk about something exciting that we both like. And those are books.
The exciting world of books.
So we're going to go through, and this is Colby's concept, so he can take credit for it. We're going to go through and sort of like periods of our life. We're going to share the most meaningful books for us. Maybe throw out some recommendations along the way.
And maybe like some defining book moments in our lives, since I have a couple.
Oh, do you prep? I didn't prep for this.
I mean, like I thought about it. That's as much. I didn't like write it down, but I...
Remember when we used to write things down? How prepared we were.
So prepared. Not anymore. Now it's all off the dome. It's all freestyle. So let's start with... How about like the first children's books you remember reading?
I don't know if I remember any. I can tell you, I mean, like there was the classics. There was like Goodnight Moon. One book I think that really sticks out for me is Where the Wild Things Are. I don't know if like I was necessarily read that, but I definitely read it in school, or I remember checking it out from the library. I was in the library a lot as a kid growing up, and I became pretty close with the librarian, so I remember trying to the book limit for grade level. So if you were in first grade, you could check out one book; second grade, two books; third grade, three books. So I always try to like pass that limit because I just wanted to take all the books home. I think the Rainbow Fish was something I read often too. I you know what? I'll have to ask my parents, but I think those two are the ones that stand out. Like, I remember liking those.
I remember very distinctly in my room, I had the Big Blue Book of Beginner Books. It was a large blue book, and it had like this bear looking thing with a bunch of spots on it. And it had six children's books inside the book. So it had A Fly Went By, Go Dog Go, You My Mother?
Oh,
It's Not So Easy Being a Bunny.
I totally forgot about Dr. Seuss. We had every Dr. Seuss book.
So those aren't Dr. Seuss books, but they were like published by like something that had like the Cat in the Hat in the corner. So I thought growing up they were Dr. Seuss books. They are not Dr. Seuss books, but I can see why one would think that they are. Because the Cat in the Hat's on the corner.
Oh, it's probably just like the literary imprint or whatever. But yeah, we had every Dr. Seuss book. Probably worth some money now if we sold them, but
no, because everyone had them. They aren't rare.
Yeah, but those editions, they're probably not.
That you scribbled on with like the first time you ever held a pencil, you just like drew on every single page.
I think I read the the places you'll go when I graduated high school or something, and that was pretty well. We're not in the high school yet, but I'm trying to think of my favorite Dr. Seuss book. Probably like One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
It's a good one.
Or Green Eggs and Ham.
Green Eggs and Ham is a good one. I don't remember the books as much as I remember the little animated specials.
Mm.
Like, you remember the one with, like, the little racist people that kept going to the machine and changing themselves and getting mad at the other ones that were...
I don't remember that.
Oh, man, now I gotta find it. what is it called? The Sneetches! There we go.
Oh.
Yeah, the Sneetches with the star in their stomach, and they're like, oh, y'all don't got stars in your stomach.
I think I remember that.
And they were mad racist. And then they all got stars in their stomachs, and then one of the cool ones didn't get a star in their stomach. They're like, oh, now it's hot not to have stars on our stomachs. And then they all got their stars removed, and it just was like a never-ending thing.
Interesting. I will have to go back and read that. I think there's also Horton Hears a Who and the Snorlax. I think those recently became movies, too. So I think those
are... Lorax?
The Lorax. The Snorlax.
the Snorlax is
I just
a
watched Detective Pikachu, okay? Which is, by the way, a great movie, but...
It is a really good movie.
Yeah, so I think that maybe covers it. Here's a question for you. Were you a reader growing up, or were you, like, let's play outside kind of kid? Because I was the reader in my family, and my brother... And not that you can't be both, but my brother was definitely the let's go play outside with friends, and I was like, I'm going to stay indoors.
I didn't like outside unless sports were happening. So I was very much, I was an indoor cat. I was a reader for sure. I don't think that's the true dichotomy, but I was definitely, if it was, I was a reader. Okay, so elementary school. I actually have like a defining moment in my life for elementary school.
Let's hear it.
I don't know how y'all did it in Minnesota or how other public schools in North Carolina did it, because I went to a magnet school for elementary school. And for those of you who don't know what a magnet school is, it is a public school that you have to win a lottery to be placed inside. And then once you win the lottery, all your siblings also get to go to that magnet. My sister won the lottery, and I, as her little brother, also got to go to this elementary school. The magnet was global studies, so every year we learned like two different cultures around the world. It was a really cool thing, and I am glad I had that experience. Anyway, I went to a fancy extended year elementary school, and they tested us on reading level by grade every year, maybe twice a year, probably twice a year. And I remember one time I was reading just like a regular picture book. Little five-year-old Colby reading a picture book. And my kindergarten teacher came and took my picture book away. And she was like, Colby, I have some news for you. You're reading on a second grade level. And I don't remember this, but my parents told me that I looked at her and I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Aww.
And they're like, well, you can't read picture books anymore because you have to challenge yourself. So you have to read chapter books. So that was like a very defining, like, I remember that day. I don't remember saying I'm sorry, but I remember her being like, yeah, you can't read picture books anymore. So I just started reading chapter books with picture books. So that is like my defining moment for reading.
When you were talking about that, so many books just came through my mind of things that I read in elementary school. So I'll try to keep this short-ish. But there is three series in one book that were like defining for me. So the book is called The Last of the Really Great Wang Doodles, and Julie Andrews wrote this, like the Julie Andrews. And it goes in and out of print every so often. I think I still have a copy, but it was just for some reason, and the Wang Doodles were like these creatures, and it was kind of like a, you know, a Narnia thing where they went to this world and they had to like save the Wang Doodles. And for some reason, that just like really got to me as a kid. And I honestly think about that book once a year, and I'm just like, yeah, like that was a good book. Another series that I read in elementary school, this is probably younger elementary, were those Magic Treehouse books.
I loved the Magic Treehouse books.
Those are good. I wonder if they're still making them. Let me look.
I don't know. Let's find out. The internet is right in front of us.
You don't say.
Wow, I love the Magic Treehouse books. I think I read them out of order at first, and then like as a little completionist, like 9-year-old, I went back. It's like, I need to read them all. And I went back and read them in order.
Wow, apparently there's an anime based on the series, like a movie.
There are 55.
All right.
The most recently printed in 2016.
Dang. Ooh, but they're spinoffs. There's like Merlin Missions.
Yeah, I counted those because okay. I read some of those.
I don't know if I ever read the Merlin Missions, but oh man, this is so good. I'm looking at all the titles. Oh, Dinosaurs Before Dark, Pirates Past Noon, Afternoon on the Amazon, totally. Dolphins at Daybreak, totally read Dolphins at Daybreak.
I totally remember Buffalo Before Breakfast.
Ugh. There was one about Pompeii.
Oh, I remember that one.
Let's see. Magic Tree House Pompeii. Vacation Under a Volcano. Nice.
They got lazy with that title. Tonight on the Titanic, I for sure.
Oh, yeah. That seems familiar, that too. Dang. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I love the Magic Tree House books a lot, actually. I'm trying to find the name. There were these books. There was a dog, and it was a crime-solving dog.
Oh. Wish.
And
no.
It wasn't a Jack Russell. No. There is a Jack Russell one. It wasn't a Jack Russell.
It's. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's not Wishbone, is it? No.
No, it's not Wishbone. Man, that's gonna drive me bonkers. Anyway, we can move on from this.
All right. So, that was the first series. The second series, I guess that was, I'll save the best for last. But the second one was, Tamara Pierce wrote these Alana novels, and they were about this female knight. And I think after this is over, I'm gonna have to see if my library has them because I really want to reread them. Like, they were just pure young adult fantasy. Oh, I just thought of another fantasy book. So I think that's what sort of started my love for, like, fantasy. And I don't want to say supernatural because I wouldn't call it that. But definitely things that involve dragons are books that I like. So
I definitely read a lot of Junie B. Jones. Like, a whole bunch of Junie B. Jones.
I think I did, too.
I remember reading A Wrinkle in Time.
I never read that.
I was very confused by it. And then I saw the movie that came out in like 2016. I was like, okay, this is exactly what I remember this movie being. And even at 20 years old, this makes zero sense whatsoever. It's a very strange story.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I like weird stuff. Chris Pine was great in it. I think it's a perfectly fine movie. It's very weird, but it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I read Junie B. Jones, and I think, what's that one that's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. That was, I don't remember who that was written by, but, oh, I feel like I should know this. I feel like it's going to be bad if I don't know this.
And then it's like, there were the Ramona books?
Yes, Ramona and Beezus. Read those. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret was written by Judy Blume. Oh, my God.
Same person. Yeah.
Same
person that wrote Junie B. Jones.
There. I was on the right track. I just looked at the new cover for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And it is a text message bubble. So that's good. Love that.
I wonder if the one you're saving that's the best for last is the same as mine.
Is it Harry Potter?
It's not Harry Potter. No, oh, I didn't read Harry Potter until I was an adult.
Well, okay. So I read Harry Potter as a kid, and not an underestimate to say that it was life-changing, because I often come back to these books if I'm having a bad time. Like, I have visited the studio tour in London twice. I just, like, love those movies. I went to the midnight movie premieres. I went to the midnight book releases. There's just so much Harry Potter in my life. And honestly, not as much as some people, which is cool, I think. Like, good for you if you like them that much. J.K. Rowling, hit or miss these days. But I think Harry Potter was pretty powerful. And I would say that's definitely in elementary school is when I started reading them. But honestly, every couple of years, I'll just read them again. So that's really like a timeless thing. What's your last one?
So you're a little older than me.
Yeah, I am.
So my Harry Potter phase, which wasn't a Harry Potter phase, I read something else instead. I'll get to that in middle school. But in elementary school, like, my defining series was A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, yes.
Loved A Series of Unfortunate Events. It is the reason that I was talking like a pretentious 11-year-old because, let me sneak it, I forget his real name.
Daniel Harder or something.
Something like that, yeah. When he would write, he would say, like, he would put like a big word and they said, which means blah, 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 blah.
Daniel Handler,
yeah. It is the reason I have such, like, a dry, sarcastic sense of humor. Like, all the dark humor that I love now started with A Series of Unfortunate Events. I don't think my mom understood why I like these books so much, because they are so dark, especially for children. It is a very dark book series, but I loved every single one.
I totally had all of them, too, and honestly, I haven't thought about them in a long time. So I'm glad you brought those up. I enjoyed it. Those were good books.
The Netflix show. Great.
I never watched the Netflix show.
I'm a big fan.
Interesting. Yeah, that was definitely those slapped. Those were good.
The Netflix show is like, you know those adaptations where you watch it and you're just smiling the entire time because it's exactly how you pictured it?
Yeah.
It's one of those.
That's good. It's always nice when things can make you, I don't know, happy like that. This brings us to middle school.
And I will talk about what I read instead of Harry Potter. I was not a Harry Potter kid. I read one of the Harry Potter clones. My Harry Potter clone of choice was Percy Jackson.
Nice.
I love Percy Jackson. I still love and read the Percy Jackson books because they're still coming out. Rick Riordan is still pumping these books out.
This might have been more middle school, but I read these books called The Click, more elementary school, and they were like about these rich kids in New York who were like in sixth grade. I used to buy every single one of those and read
them. My sister liked those, I think.
Oh, they were bad. They were really bad.
Were they actually bad, or were they just marketed towards girls?
And they were marketed toward girls, and it was fine for what it was. Yeah, it was fine for what it was. But it was yikes. So Yeah, and then I also read, oh, I was a big Aragon fan, but I forgot that was also probably more elementary school, but the last Aragon book didn't come out until high school, so that was kind of a multi-generational thing. We started reading Aragon in fourth grade for, like, story time, and I was obsessed, so I bought the book and read ahead. Yeah, I've always been doing that, reading ahead, reading fantasy books ever since a young age.
There's a clip of The Simpsons that is, you know, sometimes you hear something, it sticks with you, like it's funny and it sticks with you forever, where someone's running away and Marge yells, "Run, run like the wind." And Lisa's like, "It's run like the wind." She's like, "I've only seen it in print." That's how I was with, I now know it's pronounced Aragon. I thought it was Aragon because it's dragon with an E.
That's fair.
So I was like, it's Aragon.
No, that's, you're not wrong. That's funny.
Until I said it out loud one day and everyone looked at me weird and I was like, it's Aragon.
Aragon.
Yeah, I never read them. Did y'all have, okay, so in our elementary school and middle school, but no one did it in middle school, we had Accelerated Reader, which is a program where you read a book and you take an online comprehension test, and however well you do on the test, you get AR points. At the end of the year, you get to spend your points at the AR fair. Is this something that y'all had?
We did not, but we had book, Scholastic Book Fairs.
Very different.
Okay.
So with AR, a lot of my friends read Harry Potter because generally the longer the book, the more complicated the book, the more AR points you got.
Okay.
So when that seventh book came out, they ripped through that book and they were like, when is the AR test for Deathly Hallows going to be out? Because it was going to be like 100 points, and that's an incredible amount of points. But I was an AR fiend. Like, I had a system where I would read all, like, the short but dense nonfiction books.
Smart.
And just load up on AR points. And all the kids that I thought in my little 10-year-old mind weren't very smart, they would get, like, 5 points and then go buy an eraser, get another 5 points, get a little pencil sharpener. No, I was saving my points for the AR store at the end of the year so I could get a little ball that glowed when I threw it.
How many points was that?
It's probably something like 15 or 20, but I could get like five of them. I could get like five or six of them. No, there's, man. I was in the top 5 or 10 in AR points because I never spent them. I just hung on to them.
Nice. That's funny.
Anyway, back to middle school. That's also when I started getting into YA. Probably when I started reading Hunger Games, either like eighth grade or ninth grade,
yeah.
Like end of middle school, start of high school.
Oh,
I know, wait, I almost forgot. The book series that I don't think anyone remembers except for me, but it was called 39 Clues. It was a book series, and like every book, or it was like a 13 book series, and every book was written by a different author. They might have doubled up a couple times. And at the front of the book, there were like these cards that were clues. There were 3 clues in each card. There were 13 books, 39 clues. And you would go online and once you got the books, and you would put the cards like in, and then everyone would try to solve the mystery together.
You're like, 13 books, 39 clues.
Yeah, I know. I sound like homegirl and Dev when she was trying to get out of that little situation. Devs, by the way, great show to watch while you're in quarantine. Yeah, 39 clues. They were hit or miss, but I read all of them because I'm a completionist. So,
you know what book I read in middle school probably the most? Fucking Twilight, dude. That was peak eighth grade, and I would just read it. I read all of them, and then I read it again, and then I read it again. Like, I read it so many times, and like the movies were coming out, and it was just, dang, that was my life for a long time. Like, I bought an Edward shirt at one point for a Secret Santa. I photoshopped my friend's face onto Bella for a poster, and then I had my dad print it out. Best present ever, by the way. I think she still has it, but Twilight, that was the thing I did.
So my thought with high school is we can talk about still books that we were reading, but also books that we were like, we had to read for school.
I feel like the number of books I read for fun in high school went down, just because I feel like the reading load went up. But I'll try to think. I didn't read a lot of the assigned reading, I'll be honest. I took a lot of the advanced English classes, and over the summer we were supposed to read books, and I was just like, what's the fucking point? So I never did that. The Scarlet Letter, I still remember, was my speech teacher was my my speech coach was my English teacher. So I like totally just fucked up on the Scarlet Letter and didn't read it, and got like a C on that test because I had to write an essay, like a timed essay on something that I didn't read about.
I can't blame you, because that is, I hate the Scarlet Letter. I hate Nathaniel Hawthorne. I hate reading everything that he writes. It is so like, it is, he is the reason I know what purple prose is. But now I know that I hate purple prose because it's so difficult to read for no reason.
One of the books that I liked that was required reading was Catch 22. And then there was this one book that was, it was about like a, it was a war book. It was by Tim O'Brien. It'll come to me when I Google it. It is, he wrote, oh, The Things They Carry. And that is, according to Google, a collection of linked semi-autobiographical stories inspired by O'Brien's experiences in the Vietnam War.
I read, let's see, Wuthering Heights, which I liked more than I expected to. My favorite book that we read was Fahrenheit 451.
Oh my god, no. I hated that book.
I really loved Fahrenheit 451.
I hated that book.
Hated The Great Gatsby.
Oh, I love The Great Gatsby.
Because I'm one of my least favorite books ever. Yeah, in high school, I was diving more into the YA. I was reading all the Divergent books, which, woo, those fell off at the end.
You know, I don't think I finished them. I think I read the first two, and I don't know if I ever finished the third one because it just got so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Not good. And I like how the movies couldn't even finish them.
Yeah, no, like, I think about that very often. Like, they just gave up. And then I think the last one came out, but they used different people. Like, Shailene Woodley wasn't even in it, and it was straight to TV. Like, fantastic. And
what a waste of Shailene Woodley. She's a great actress.
She is.
I read The Maze Runner. I read the first two of those books, and then the last one really fell off. The Death Cure. It might be sitting on my shelf right now. I don't remember.
Here's a question for you. Do you like those classic books like Pride and Prejudice or like War and Peace? I don't know if you've ever read War and Peace. I haven't. I think I bought it. But or like Anna Karenina. I haven't read them because I feel like a sense of shame that I haven't read those, and I feel like I should prioritize reading those before I read any of the fun stuff. But I like reading the fun stuff. It makes me happy, so I don't know.
I don't really. There was a time I did, but now I'm just like, if I know the basic plot points where if someone asks about it, I can get it on Jeopardy. That's good enough for me.
It's a good way to look at life.
I think a lot of the adaptations have been able to carry those stories further in today's time than maybe those stories that are very much of their time, not in like a good way or like in a very like a very neutral way of their time. Like the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is one of the best adaptations of anything, I believe, of Pride and Prejudice.
I would be interested in maybe reading that. I remember really liking Pride and Prejudice when I read it.
You should watch the Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
It's on YouTube, right?
It is.
All right. I'll think about it. But I don't know. I just get like self-conscious because I do read a lot. But like I don't read. You know, I used to read a lot of personal development books. I purely just read for pleasure, which I guess is how it should be. I don't know. I'm not going to slog through The Master and Margarita or whatever. You know why I bought that book is because Daniel Radcliffe recommended it once. And I was like, I'm going to be like Daniel Radcliffe and read this. It is sitting on my shelf. I have not touched it. So I don't know. I like dated a guy who has his master's in like Latin and Greek and whatever. And I'm sure he's read a lot of the books, but I don't know. Something to think about for me.
Speaking of Latin and Greek, though, The Odyssey slaps. Beowulf slaps. Grendel better than Beowulf.
I haven't read those. Should I read those?
If you can find a good translation of Beowulf, I think it's worth reading. You can like search on the internet. There's a bunch of translations because it's in Old English. But it's very interesting, but only so you can read Grendel, which, again, is one of my favorite books. Speaking of Grendel, by the way, do you remember Frindel?
I do. It rings a bell. I couldn't tell you what it is, but...
It's about a guy who, like, in middle school, just started calling pins Frindles.
Oh, yes! Yes! I do remember that! Do you remember the book where the chick had, like, square... Her, like, everything turned into a square and colorful? That was traumatizing.
I don't remember that, but I do remember another one of my least favorite books I was forced to read in middle school, actually. It was, Nothing But the Truth. And it was this guy who, at their, like, middle school, every day they played the national anthem. And you're not supposed to, like, talk during the national anthem, but he was, like, humming along with it. He got in trouble for it, and it turned into, like, a big thing, and, like, news media, national news media got involved, and blah, 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 a bunch of boring stuff that doesn't matter. And then he let the fame get to his head, and then they ended up kicking him out of his school, and he went to a private school, and then they played national anthem, and they're like, hey, would you like to sing it? And he was like, I don't know the words. And I was like, really? This the dumbest book I've ever read in my entire life. I hated it much. Sorry I spoiled Nothing But the Truth. I hope none of you had to read that book.
Yeah, that's about it for high school. I can't think of any like defining book moment. I think it was I pretty much just read what I had to, and because I was like super busy in high school. I mean, there were sports, there was homework. If anything, I probably read more Twilight and Harry Potter. That's probably all I read. I'll have to think. I don't know, though.
The last thing I'll say is I also read a bunch of John Green books multiple times in high school.
Surprises me 0%.
And ended up finding what would be my favorite book for a long time. I don't think so anymore, but what would be my favorite book for a long time. Wow, I just blanked on it.
Looking for Alaska.
Looking for Alaska. Love Looking for Alaska. The show on Hulu. Beautiful.
We talked about this recently because I started to reread it because I think I was talking with you. Mm-hmm. And I just thought I didn't like it anymore because it was too like Manic Pixie Dream Girl-ish. And you're like, no, that's the point. Or like you said, it was like anti-MPDG. And I was like, well, I'm going to stop because I don't get it.
I do think that he does like the deconstruction of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl better in Paper Towns.
Yeah, I think but, I like Paper Towns overall a bit better.
But just where I was in life when I was reading Looking for Alaska, it destroyed me. Like more than any of his other books, like it was very meaningful to me.
Here's the thing that plagued me forever. Well, for when I was in school, but I was exceptionally bad at analyzing literature, and I still am. I don't read books to like find symbolism. I read books because I enjoy them, and I always thought that made me like really bad at English. So I don't know, like, what's your experience with that? Because you're good at it.
Well, one of my favorite books that I read in high school that I was made to read was How to Read Literature Like a Professor. It is a
book. Should I read that?
Yes, you should. It is, I don't, listen, I don't read nonfiction since like elementary school when I was reading those books for AR points. Since then, I really don't read nonfiction because it's kind of boring to me.
It was boring to me too.
But How to Read Literature Like a Professor taught me so much about story structure and symbolism and allegory that I can do all of the picking apart a story because I read that book and I know what to pick up on and I know what authors are doing when they do things or what they don't mean or whatever. How to Read Literature Like a Professor is a great book.
I think that's a fair point because we were never really taught how to find symbolism. They're just like, hey, this is something. Analyze it. Like, it was never like why they were doing that. I don't know. I just remember like Great Gatsby. Everyone's like, what does the green light symbolize? I'm like, I don't know. Like, his fucking future. Like, who cares? Like, it ended.
It's his greed for Daisy, for money, for...
whatever.
All the other things on the other side of that lake. I don't know. Yeah.
The egg. That's what they... No, that's what they call them. The eggs, I think. Upper egg. What about now? What are you reading now?
Well, about college? Did you read anything in college?
Yeah, business textbooks.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, you don't really read in college.
I will tell you, what I read in college was Game of Thrones. I started the first Game of Thrones book in my physics class, because, like, fuck physics. And I, like, had a little iPad thingy. It wasn't an iPad. It was a Google tablet that my dad bought me. I downloaded Game of Thrones, and I just, like, read that. I, like, read all the books through all my classes that I didn't have to pay attention in. And I am now the Game of Thrones fan you know and love. So that's probably... I'm sure I read other things, but those were probably, like, the biggest books that I read in college.
I tried to read the Game of Thrones, and I got a little less than halfway through and then school started and I couldn't do it anymore.
I honestly think they're good books. Like, I think they're leagues better than the show for reasons. But I think he's like a really talented writer. Do I think we're going to get the next one? Nope. But I mean, goddamn, George R. R. Martin, you have nothing else to do now. You have to stay home. You have to. What are you going to do?
I think we'll get them, even if they aren't fully written by him.
Yeah. Maybe someone's, like, ghostwriting it.
I mean, what are D&D up to these days?
in Westworld.
You're in Westworld, yeah. You don't even watch Westworld.
Yeah, but I knew that.
Yeah, I got, like, a halfway through a Game of Thrones, and school started, and I couldn't read anymore, which is a... story of my career at Carolina is wanting to read and not having enough free time to read. But I did take a contemporary literature class.
Nice.
In college, and I was exposed to a bunch of books that I never would have read. I read The Road by Cormac McCarthy.
Oh, I think I read that.
It is the most depressing book I have ever read.
Yeah, I remember not
so
liking
it. So sad. I read The Brief and Wondrous Life of Oscar Wilde, which is really great, by Juno Diaz. I read Middlesex by Jeffrey Eugenides, which is a great book. Oh, Alison Bechdel's Fun Home, which later turned into a Broadway musical. It is a graphic novel that is an autobiographical graphic novel, which is
I didn't take any
good.
English classes in college. I tested out of them.
I was, I think we talked about this. It is really hard to test out of English for Carolina. They've relaxed it now, but when I was there, it was very hard to test out of English. So I had to take a bunch of English classes. Anyway, but also took film classes, which is another way that I know how to break down stuff. But yeah, that's what I read in college. So what do you read now?
I'm thinking, so I'm, what, 4 years out of college now. I think it's definitely been...
Old.
Yeah, fuck off. I think I read a lot of personal development books. That was my life for... Yeah, I know. You know what? They were useful. Some of them are actually good. Like, if you are interested in starting into the personal development world, like, definitely The Big Leap, I recommend. You're a Badass, which everyone recommends, but it's legit. It's good. And then The Four Agreements, which is by Miguel Ruiz Jr., I think. I'd have to look up the author of that, but that one's pretty good. So I read those and stopped doing that. Started reading a lot of romance novels, like a lot. Like pretty much the entirety of 2018 was romance novels. Which is, you know what? They were good. So I enjoyed reading them. I still do enjoy reading them. Now I'm sort of branching out into books that my friends are recommending. So there's some like YA fantasy in there, which just reminds me like how much I love fantasy. So I really need to get back into that. I started this book by a dude whose name is escaping me, but The Name of the Wind is the name of the book. Wow, that's really going to bother me. But I started that book like probably 2 years ago and I just haven't finished it. So maybe one of these days I'm just going to power through and finish it because it's good. It's just like really dense. Currently I'm finishing up this series called The Folk of the Air, and they are all fairies who intermix with the mortals. So that's been interesting. Lots of drama.
Ooh.
And it's really good. I think you'd like it, actually. And then I'm trying to see. You can follow me on Goodreads if you want. What else did I read this year? Oh, one of my personal projects was to try to read more nonfiction and about like the state of the world. So I read this book called So You Want to Talk About Race, and that was really good. 2020 books, 2020 reading challenge. Oh, I recently reread a series called The Uglies. That was good.
Oh yeah, a bunch of my friends read The Uglies.
I read Circe this year. I don't know. I do a lot of audiobooks depending on the day. I mean, now I'm not commuting 45 minutes to work. I'm commuting, you know, 15 seconds. So audiobooks are on the wayside for now, but we'll see. Well, hopefully I'll get back into those later.
So since college, I'm looking at my Audible because that is basically how I have been reading, because up until now, I had a lot of commute time. So I had time to read a bunch of books, first of which was Harry Potter. Since I'd never read them before, I read Harry Potter as an adult. They are pretty solid books.
Love it.
I get the hype, I can say. Then I kept reading John Green, Turtles All the Way Down, which is a pretty good book. I went back and reread the Percy Jackson books and started reading some of the new ones that I hadn't read yet, The Heroes of Olympus. And then my new favorite book came out by none other than John Green's brother, Hank Green, An Absolutely Remarkable Thing, which spoke to me like no book has that, like, honestly, like, I can't tell you how much this book was like, I am the main character, and it's very troubling that I am the main character. Or I see a lot of, like, her traits in me, which is very troubling, because I don't think she's a very good person. But I highly recommend it, especially if you want to be an internet person or if you are an internet person personality. An Absolutely Remarkable Thing does a really good job of breaking down what that means in a new adult, near future, speculative fiction with maybe aliens. An Absolutely Remarkable Thing. Great. I've read the Magician's novels, which...
Yeah,
I
haven't read them yet.
I don't like, but they stuck in my head for whatever reason, where I think about them a lot. I also am watching the show, but those books stuck with me for a very long time. And then His Dark Materials, I've read all those books as well as The Book of Dust, jumping into that fantasy life because I love fantasy. Fantasy is great. And now I am reading Leviathan Wakes, which is the first book in The Expanse series.
Ooh.
But after that, I think I'm going to jump back into Rick Riordan and read some more of those books for teenagers, because I like them better. Not that Leviathan Wakes is bad, I don't know, there's safety in characters, you know. There's comfort in characters, you know.
Yeah, I I think it's just like young adult books are written for pure enjoyment, which I think at this point in the world we need. If by all means, go ahead and read whatever you want. I think reading something is better than nothing. Reading is sexy.
There was definitely a time in high school where I was reading the first Heroes of Olympus books, which is the sequel series to the first Percy Jackson books. And I was kind of like ashamed of reading it because I was like, oh, this is a book for like 12-year-olds. But I was like, but it's good. And I read it anyway. I wasn't hiding that I was reading it, but I was just like, I feel like I shouldn't be reading this. But read whatever you want. Just don't read Ayn Rand.
An old ex-boyfriend used to read Ayn Rand. Yeah. Maybe that says something about me. I don't know. If you had to recommend one book to our listeners, what would that be? It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite book. It's just something you think everyone should read.
It's going to be an absolutely remarkable thing.
I knew you were going to say that. And you know what? I'll read that. How about that? I'll read that for you and we can have a little book club.
Absolutely. Let me try to find... All right, here we go. In his wildly entertaining debut novel, Hank Green spins a sweeping cinematic tale about a young woman who becomes an overnight celebrity before realizing she's part of something bigger and stranger than anyone could have imagined. A thrilling journey that takes a hard look at the power of fame and our willingness to separate a person from the brand.
Okay, so the book that I think everyone should read is Song of Achilles. And I actually just read this last year, so it's kind of a new-to-me book. But it's seriously one of the most beautifully written books I've ever read in my life. I cried, I laughed, like, it's just, and another one too. Okay. So first read that one. Secondly, Song of Achilles is about, Achilles, obviously, and then his lover Patroclus. And it's just great. It's like them growing up and they fight at the Battle of Troy and it's awesome. Lots of Greek mythology. Love it. And then the second book that everyone I think should read, and this is maybe a controversial opinion, but it's called A Little Life. And it follows four men in New York, basically growing up from college until their 50s. And it is the saddest thing I've ever read in my life, but it makes you think about life. And I think those are my favorite kind of books. The ones where, you know, it may not feel good at the time, but you are left a better person for reading it. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. We will see you next week. Find us online at www.marthaandcolby or on Twitter and Instagram at @marthaandcolby.
Thanks to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan from Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Shout out to Irene, even though you don't listen to this podcast.
Don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. the ebooks. Anyways, you don't have to listen to me do that. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. We will see you next week. And were you done? I'm sorry. I totally just ended.
Yeah, I was done.
Okay, cool. That can be the ending.